Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Flames tearing through this industrial complex in Abington Township, Pennsylvania, broke out late last night at SPS Technologies. That's on the 300 block of Highland Ave. Hazmat crews are continuing. They're on scene as well. They are monitoring the air quality in the area. So as of right now, any residents, any business within a 1 mile radius of that huge complex, the SPS complex, should remain closed until further notice. So a shelter in place. What does that mean? It means that the Abington School District, Jenkintown School District, all private parochial schools, they are closed for today. And so also this is impacting your morning commute if you live in or travel in and around that area because of all the road closures. And then SEPTA says the fire and the fire scene, the hazmat scene, is also impacting service, especially on the Doylestown, Warminster lines. So you want to avoid that area for Lansdale lines as well. So it's impacting a lot of because of the road closure and then because of the SEPTA closures and impact. Just make sure if you're a morning commuter that you have a heads up.
Boy, some of those kiddies might get a 5-day weekend now.
I know.
How about that? Yeah, just come back to school whenever you want.
Yeah, 3-day week, kids.
Yeah.
We have, due to the high winds, a real tragedy, and this was making national news after a woman was killed in the Northeast in Philadelphia. She was killed when this huge tree fell on her car, crushing her. And this was as we were dealing with all the powerful winds that slammed our region. And that was on Sunday afternoon, as well as yesterday. Philadelphia police firefighters responding there to the 500 block of West Hill Creek Road. And that was when they arrived. They found a woman. She has been officially identified as 65-year-old Elizabeth Taylor of Philadelphia. She lived nearby and apparently was just pulling up inside her car, crushed when that huge tree came toppling down. So she was pronounced dead at the scene there. Just a real tragedy. They did the community. She was well-known, beloved in the community, and they actually had a vigil for her last night, a community vigil honoring her life. Just what a tragic situation there. They're investigating, but it looks certainly they're blaming the high winds for all the trees. You know, coming in this morning, there were, I don't know, maybe three different areas where roads were closed
because of
these huge trees.
Put branches down everywhere.
Yeah.
Like we got hit by a tornado.
Well, they said that some of the wind gusts were measured, they were close to tornado
speeds. Oh, yeah. My daughters were asking because tornadoes were a big thing in Nashville when they were down there. And they're, anytime it starts to get gusty out, Daddy, are we getting a tornado? No, but it was close.
Yes. So we also have, as far as powerful winds causing widespread power outages, as we said, damage across the region with those downed trees. So, you know, be patient, allow a little extra time maybe coming in. But we also have high winds as a factor, believed to be a factor, in that Delta Airlines plane crash landing, flipping upside down on the runway at Toronto Pearson International Airport yesterday. And many of the crews, many of the passengers themselves saying what a miracle it is that everybody on board escaped without critical injuries. Now, we do have three people in critical condition this morning, including a child. But as far as 18 people, they all survived and not life-threatening injuries for the 18.
I'm honestly surprised that there were no fatalities. How a plane could basically be on its back. There it is. Look at that.
Yeah, there it is.
Unbelievable.
How does nobody pass away? I mean, thank God, knock on wood, but look at that. That looks like a total catastrophe.
Well, and theoretically, that's what people, you know, my theory on this is that the only people injured were people who were not buckled in. So if you have a small child or a toddler,
right,
they might be on your lap. And so therefore, they're not harnessed in. That's one theory. I don't have all the information, but
we also have a video from inside the plane. I don't know if you guys saw this. We're just going to play the video. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. There you go. You can see people trying to get out. Upside down there. It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
The fact that somebody actually wanted to film, too.
Well, you got to go live, right?
Well put.
Yeah.
What's our first reaction in the face of adversity?
Yeah.
Pull out our phone.
Yeah.
So this was another one of those regional planes, smaller planes. What is going on here? And you're seeing they were carrying some of the individuals, carrying them out on stretchers. But what was remarkable is they were making their way out, and you see the snow-covered area. Very windy day, so high winds being attributed certainly to this. You see the plane with the wings have been clipped off when it flipped upside down. So that's remarkable.
Not a great time for plane travel.
No, it's not. Mayor Pete's like, no longer my issue. Take that one, Duffy. It's your gig.
Well,
now.
Interesting that whenever there was any sort of catastrophe, we blame Mayor Pete.
Uh-huh.
But this time we don't.
No, and you know what? Arizona, Toronto.
Consistency. Love it.
No, I mean, I never blame Mayor Pete for things. The only thing we called him out for was when he did not show up.
Wearing his boots.
For example, East Palestine, when he waits a year, waits a long time to show up.
Yeah,
so
there's no excuse for that.
So there's that. So, NTSB is there. They're investigating. We will get to hopefully we'll get some answers within the next couple of weeks on that one. We also have, speaking of high winds, it was a windy day across our region for a lot of the rallies. So people across the country rallying against the Trump administration on President's Day yesterday. Rallies organized by the 50501 movement, which stands for 50 protests, 50 states, one movement. That's what they're calling it. On the windy President's Day that we all experienced. So locally, the Delaware County Courthouse steps, they're in media. There were crowds standing out in the cold and the wind, carrying signs speaking of anxiety and fear.
Were they chanting and singing bad songs?
Oh, God.
They were. We shall,
We have another one. We have another protest song that just dropped.
Oh, boy.
We'll play that later.
You know, maybe we could use AI. You know how you go into AI and you create a song? They need a better song.
Way better.
What's
way
the most popular song genre today? Is it country? Is it hip-hop or protest? I'm trying to update my Spotify playlist. I'm going to add some new songs later today.
And many protests, obviously, Philadelphia, around Philadelphia City Hall, some large protests here. As Mary Gay Scanlon was out there, Representative Mary Gay Scanlon, she was out saying that it's a common threat that Trump wants to cut billions from your services provided to all Americans. That's her claim, that the cuts are in health care and the cuts are in veterans' benefits to education. So those are all the cuts, according to Democrats protesting here locally, having all of that going on. And then, of course, our all-important forecast for you. And that is that today, the high just 31 degrees, but like I say, 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Still, huh?
Still windy. Not as windy as yesterday, but still pretty darn, it's blustery out there. And then it looks right now officially at the airport, it's 18 degrees.
Fun.
So,
yeah, it was just walking the 10 steps in my car this morning. It was freezing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Four weeks until spring, folks. What are we, March 20th, March 21st?
Yeah, but just because the calendar says spring doesn't mean it's going to get warmer.
It's a mental boost for me.
I
love it.
I understand.
And then I'll yell about April being washed out with rain every day.
By the way, Peter says, Nick hates when other people have off. What does that tell you? You do. You really do hate when people have. Well, when Dawn said that these kids get the day off because of the fire that's happening right now in Abington, Jenkintown and Abington.
Yeah, I am very much anti-abusing the system and taking
I mean, apparently this fire is, like, really bad, and you can barely see in some areas.
Yeah, it's
and
a shelter.
Detours, and, like, it's bad.
It's bad. Okay. It's a shelter in place. I think they're more worried because it's a warehouse, it's a manufacturing company, so they're worried about what you're breathing in, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you go out, so it's a shelter in place.
Yeah.
So it's forecast real quick here. As we look to our sponsor, which I said was Piazza Auto Group, but as far as today's high, just 30 degrees, windy. Tomorrow, tomorrow it's only 30 degrees, and then we have it looks like not much of a snow event. They were talking yesterday it was going to be a snow.
I know. I heard over the weekend it was going to be a snowmageddon, and then they're like, well, It shifted. Like, did it shift? Or are you just hyping things?
It's always wrong.
On social media.
Yeah.
So it looks like maybe we'll get a spattering, maybe an inch or so Wednesday into Thursday.
Failed weather forecast. You have no career. And then they go on Twitter and say, hey, the end of the world's coming. Okay.
Can we send in Doge to the National Weather Service? Probably gut 80% of those people.
To the meteorologists. So we are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Get special 0% financing for up to 72 months on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or ID. Four, that's electric SUV. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Langhorne or Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore at their new location, 205 East Lancaster Ave, right there in Ardmore. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live 6 a.m. edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14 on this Tuesday. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, free speech, President's Day, and weak Democratic men. When you are defeated, it leads to self-reflection, right? You can either admit your flaws, work to correct your mistakes, take the advice of others, or you can just go down in flames. You can choose. It appears that the Democratic Party has chosen the latter. Stubborn, stupid, and soft. It's really no way to go through life. But that's the path that today's Democratic Party has chosen after losing the 2024 election. And free speech in this country and around the world has never been more popular. After the censorship cartel years of 2020 through 2022, conservatives, populists, and free speech advocates have thrived globally. Social media even allowing more of the marketplace of ideas to pulsate on their platforms, especially places like Meta and Facebook. But that doesn't mean that suppression and cancellation attempts will stop happening. That also doesn't mean that those in favor of free speech should get complacent. Case in point, Vice President J.D. Vance, who rocked the European Union directly to their faces on Friday at the Munich Security Conference. Listen and watch this.
And expressing opinions isn't election interference. Even when people express views outside your own country, and even when those people are very influential. And trust me, I say this with all humor. If American democracy can survive 10 years of Greta Thunberg scolding, you guys can survive a few months of Elon Musk. But what German democracy, what no democracy, American, German, or European will survive, is telling millions of voters that their thoughts and concerns, their aspirations, their pleas for relief are invalid or unworthy of even being considered.
J.D. Vance would go on in that speech to rattle off nation after nation, case by case, on the governmental overreach by European countries against those who were merely speaking up, protesting, praying, whether in public or even in the confines of their own homes. Jake Tapper of CNN called out J.D. Vance over censorship hypocrisy when it pertains to the Trump administration, barring the Associated Press from the White House press briefing room. Listen and watch this.
Speaking of the interest of truth, that position Vice President Vance is espousing would be a lot easier to stand behind if the Trump White House, the Trump Vance White House, weren't currently waging a battle against free speech, which the Trump White House itself is labeling misinformation. Around the same time that Vance was saying that, the Trump White House announced that it is barring reporters from the Associated Press, one of the biggest news outlets in the world, from the Oval Office and from Air Force One indefinitely. The reason for this? Associated Press editors are not abiding by the president's renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
I disagree with Jake Tapper's assertion. This is not apples to apples, and I'll explain why. Mehdi Hasan, formerly of MSNBC, tweeted at J.D. Vance saying, quote, "Hey, J.D. Vance, I know you're busy lecturing Europeans on free speech, but have you seen this?" Question mark. And it's a quote tweet that highlights Mark Caputo's tweet. Mark is a White House reporter for Axios, and Mark said the following, quote, "President Trump's decision to limit AP reporters' access is as much a fight over the naming of the Gulf of America and the AP's refusal to drop Gulf of Mexico as it is the AP's influential spread across mainstream media," end quote. To which J.D. Vance fired back on X and said, "Yes, dummy, I think there's a difference between not giving a reporter a seat in the White House press briefing room and jailing people for dissenting views. The latter is a threat to free speech. The former is not. Hope that helps." Now, look, I said last week on this show, I would not ban the AP, but I also said, I don't care what you call the Gulf. I'm not getting caught up in Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico. It means nothing to me. There are far more important things to focus on in the world of politics. But that said, your access, Associated Press, is a privilege, not a right. Not everybody gets credentialed to be there. There's only so many credentials. There's only so many seats. There's only so much space. And if you want to compare free speech violations, I'll gladly stack up the last 5 years of free speech violations in this country and around the globe versus the Associated Press being in their feelings. They can still write and publish anything they want. And what's the beef? You're just going to go along and parrot what every other left-wing outlet peddles as you all receive marching orders from your DNC talking points. And also, on the free speech front, apparently CBS hates free speech. Bad enough that Margaret Brennan said on Face the Nation Sunday that free speech led to the Holocaust of Jews, which is historically and factually incorrect. But then 60 Minutes on CBS, they doubled down and bookended the absurd and asinine in the evening hours by saying this. Listen and watch.
The criticism that, you know, this feels like the surveillance that Germany conducted 80 years ago. How do you respond to that?
There is no surveillance.
Josephine Ballone is a CEO of HateAid, a Berlin-based human rights organization that supports victims of online violence.
In the United States, a lot of people look at this and say, this is restricting free speech. It's a threat to democracy.
Free speech needs boundaries. And in the case of Germany, these boundaries are part of our constitution. Without boundaries, a very small group of people can rely on endless freedom to say anything that they want while everyone else is scared and intimidated.
And your fear is that if people are freely attacked online, that they'll withdraw from the discussion.
This is not only a fear, it's already taking place. Already half of the internet users in Germany are afraid to express their political opinion, and they rarely participate in public debates online anymore. Half of the internet users.
I look at it this way. If you're a grown adult and you are not cognitively impaired and you're fully functional and you're offended by words, then you're soft. Legal scholar Jonathan Turley said the following of Vance's speech defending free speech, saying, quote, Vance delivered a historic defense of free speech in Europe. He goes on to compare it to Winston Churchill. I thought it was brilliantly done. It was calculated. It was methodical. It was factual. And it was delivered in a stern, fearless, and eloquent fashion. But from the First Amendment and free speech to President's Day we go. Do you guys happen to recall months ago when multiple outlets on television said that Joe Biden deserved a spot on Mount Rushmore? I remember that. Now the media is saying because Trump is president, we should consider canceling President's Day altogether. That's right. Why? Because Donald Trump is in the White House. Here was MSNBC showing more delusion than ever before. Listen and watch.
All right, so the headline here is presidential historian says President's Day is ridiculous. We should scrap it. What do you mean?
It is a little bit silly. I mean, we have had some real duds, so I'm not sure we really want to be celebrating all presidents. And the tradition actually comes from celebrating birthdays, which is a celebration that we inherited from celebrating the king. And I'm just not sure that that's exactly what we want. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that we necessarily want to celebrate the people. I think that we want to have a certain respect for the office. I totally get that. And some have done extraordinary things. But by celebrating all of them, I do think it causes us to think of the president as somehow other when in reality they are a citizen just like everyone else.
So you mentioned this earlier in the show, the idea that Trump posted something just over the weekend where he quoted Napoleon Bonaparte-esque saying, he who saves his country does not violate any law. It feels like exactly the example of what you're saying we should push against.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think if we think of a president as someone to celebrate just because they exist, which is what the king was, and that's why they celebrated the king's birthday, mm-hmm. then you kind of, it does evolve into that argument that they can do no wrong.
Can you imagine living your life thinking and speaking the way that lady was just waxing on unpoetically on MSNBC? Here's a wild concept. We can leave President's Day as is, and we can realize and admit that most presidents and 99% of politicians are all awful human beings, and we can go on with our lives. How does that sound? But in a brief moment of clarity, it was actually MSNBC's Jen Psaki who decided to call for the pumping of the brakes with the media and the Democrats. The Sockster urging Democrats to, quote, stop screaming about Trump creating a constitutional crisis. It is falling on deaf ears. That's coming from Jen Psaki, of all people. But the truest factoid, I believe, from the 2024 election was that this was an election of men against women. And we have data as well as headlines to prove it. According to a new poll from the 2024 American Family Survey, liberal women between the ages of 18 to 40 are nearly three times as likely as their conservative peers to report frequent findings of loneliness. And then when you look at men, it's quite simple. Many Democrat voters that are men, incredibly soft. And the mainstream media has captured the essence of what I'm talking about. Headlines from the following outlets. Phil will throw these graphics up on YouTube for you. The Associated Press, young men swung to the right for Trump after a campaign dominated by masculine appeals. The Free Press, how MAGA won the sensitive young man. The New York Times, for these young 20-somethings, Trump and MAGA are making it sexy to be a Republican. And in Vanity Fair, why young male voters are being MAGA-fied. Even CNN admitting that the left has a problem with males. Listen and watch this.
Well, first of all, let me just show you the numbers, because actually the numbers maybe do suggest this. For young men under the age of 29, the swing from 2020 to 2024 in Trump's favor is pretty significant. 49 to 48, Trump to Harris, it's almost tied with young men. Trump did very well with young people relative to what he normally does. There's something going on here.
No, and sure. I mean, this was why, you know, Joe Rogan was so influential in this campaign. Joe Rogan has an audience mostly of young men. There was this whole big drama about whether Kamala Harris was going to give an interview to him, wound up not doing it. I think is probably a mistake, although it probably didn't affect the outcome of the election. But, I mean, I think, you know, that guy said was pretty dumb, but it is not it is true that Democrats have a problem, especially with young men. I mean, that is a real fact.
So then,
that's
to fact. Me, that in a way it validates what Clay Travis is talking about, because if you're trying to get young men, you're not going to get them on all policy points and all the, yeah. No, Joe Rogan knows karate and sometimes he talk about drugs. That's good enough for me. Pete Hegseth was in Germany this week doing squats with like 220 on the bar outside for no reason. That's what the Democrat. I'm being silly, but
you know
I'm
what?
Serious.
One of the other points that Clay Travis made, and I think this is true. We saw this in real time when Trump had the assassination attempt in Butler. That image of him raising his fist and saying "fight, fight, fight" was like a shot of testosterone in the arms of a lot of men. Mark Zuckerberg was like, "Oh my God, he's so cool."
And this goes back to what I said in July when Tim Walz and Doug Emhoff and the Democrats tried to brand new masculinity versus toxic masculinity. Not a single man with a brain and a set of stones believed that. And as I've said before, and I've said it for 5 months on this show, name me a Democrat with a national high profile as a political figure that you would like to do a man's activity with. Drink beer, watch football, go hunting. Josh Shapiro? Gavin Newsom? J.B. Pritzker? John Fetterman? None of them resonate with blue-collar dudes. Fetterman, probably the best of the bunch, but Harvard-educated and lived at home with his parents or was supported by his family into his 40s or 50s, that doesn't seem very masculine. So you could try to rein in free speech, you can try to abolish President's Day, and you can keep catering to lonely, miserable women at the expense of alienating middle-class, hardworking men. And you can continue to do it at your own peril as you border on extinction with an entire class of men. In fact, many generations of men, Gen Xers, millennial, and even Gen Z, because I think Trump and the GOP will gladly take them all. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT and, of course, in the YouTube chat. We'll come back, get thoughts on that, as well as the protests yesterday from Philadelphia all the way up to Bucks County. It's Kale and Company on a Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg back after this on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
This three-day weekend was packed with news. Surprising. There's never a slow period. But, I mean, you have J.D. Vance, you know, he's over there, you know, talking to European leaders in Munich about free speech, and that spilled into the weekend. You had Margaret Brennan, you know, going on and on about, you know, I think she had Marco Rubio on, and she was talking about the whole free speech stuff. And, I mean, it's just absolutely factually incorrect to argue that, you know, free speech led to the Holocaust. In fact, it's the complete opposite. Without free speech, we have totalitarian and authoritarian regimes, and we end up with dictatorships. That's why free speech is the number one thing in the Bill of Rights, in the Constitution, right? Without allowing us to voice our opinion and with squashing dissenting views, that's how power grabs happen. And then 60 Minutes on Sunday night went all in on the free speech facade. And of course, you have things yesterday with President's Day where historians are saying, well, you know, the more we look at it, there were some duds as president, so maybe we shouldn't have a President's Day anymore. You know, I look at this, Dawn, and I see two things. I read about a week ago, the Washington Post had an article talking about how young men are not skewing conservative, but they are going Republican. And I would even say libertarian as well, because I think a lot of Democrats failed young men during the pandemic. And men that are 20 or older probably feel like, you know, they were gypped of big time moments, high school graduations, college classes, not being able to go to a gym, a lot of their rights. And I think there's a lot of angry men out there that are rebelling against the system. And then I see this story from Axios, how Trump and Musk's maximalist power is reshaping the government. They say that Trump and Musk believe powerfully in maximalist action and language, which is being carried out by mostly strong white men as blunt, uncompromising instruments to prove new limits both to power and what's possible. Your thoughts on the free speech angle, as well as this obvious divide where the Democrats, they can't seem to rally around a dude and bring men back to the fold. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, for Margaret Brennan, just from the TV side, unless she comes out, she's being ripped universally. And so she could lose her job over this.
I was actually going to say it's a fireable offense.
Yeah. I mean, because CBS is already taking a hit. They've already, you know, look at what CBS has been doing. They've already, even locally, they're getting rid of people. They've lost rate. They're the loser in the ratings war, if you want to call it that.
And they're also coming off of the editing issue with Kamala Harris and Whitaker.
And the big payoff. That's it, right? So she could lose her job unless she comes out and says, I don't know what she can say, but she could lose her job over this. It's that big.
And it's not a free speech thing. I'm not saying I disagree with her speech and her opinion or her views or her ideology. I mean, you can't come out and say that 6 million Jews were killed because of free speech. You have taken this Trumpist Hitler thing and this free speech and been running around with your hair on fire so much that you are saying things that are the complete opposite of what historically happened. And you don't need to be a history buff or a history major in college to realize that free speech didn't lead to the death of the Jews. In fact, you could go around the history of humanity, and without free speech, there would be more of what happened to
Nick,
the Jews.
You don't even have to explain it.
Yeah.
It's that absurd that people are going, what? And at first I thought, well, usually she couldn't have said that. She really couldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. And I went back and looked at it, and then I looked at it again. Like, I don't know what she's going to say to get out of this.
And then 60 Minutes doubles down on it the 12 hours later at night, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, whatever time that show comes on.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Couldn't believe it.
We have, so they went around, they went, 60 Minutes went with the German police officer
yep.
to arrest people. Speaking of arresting people for free speech, play this clip, Phil.
It's 6:01 on a Tuesday morning, and we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany. Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime, posting a racist cartoon online. At the exact same time, across Germany, more than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
Wow.
You talk about really zeroing in on people's rights to express their views, whether or not they're hateful or not, whether or not they're racist or not. Could you imagine over a cartoon? This is almost resembles the Hillary Clinton gift story. Remember that kid that got it? What did he get? The feds came and knocked on his door at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, and he ended up, I think, with, was it 7 months of jail time?
Yeah.
I forget where that story emanated from, but that's the same thing here.
Yeah, I mean, I know that this got a ton of play over the weekend with, and Rubio, kudos to him. He was very calm and very clear, and so he comes out looking good. Margaret Brennan, I don't know what in the heck universe she's living in. I can't even wrap my brain around where she was going with this, but it just kind of, it's like, what the heck?
It's interesting, too, that J.D. Vance gave that speech on Friday, and then 60 Minutes runs this piece on Sunday, because it's almost like prophetic in saying to, you know, the people in Munich and everybody, like, guys, you need to, like, this free speech thing is a big deal, and you guys have to realize what's happening in your country. And he got panned for it on a lot of, you know, in a lot of areas, but with the free speech stuff, I think he was dead on.
He was spot, and he gave them a verbal spanking.
Yep.
He was like, this is how it is, people, and get it together.
And Germany has to Germany has to be careful, because
They're Germany.
They're, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know.
It's like Chris Rock with the tiger.
Yeah.
You don't want tiger to be tiger.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? You don't want that reputation anymore.
Yeah. Those people, you know, bow down to power. So as soon as somebody comes there and, you know, tries to exert a little power, like, we surrender.
Yeah,
French.
Yeah.
Like the French.
Yeah. Or a cap gun.
but I'm. You have to be careful, because there's this worldwide pushback against these sort of draconian efforts.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're gonna regret doing this, though. I'm just saying.
You're absolutely right. And then when you think about everything that CBS has been dealing with, and I don't want to make it just about Brennan, because I thought 60 Minutes was just as egregious. So you're talking about 2 days from when J.D. Vance gave that speech to then doing that show in the morning on Face the Nation and 60 Minutes at night. And those are shows, and Dawn, you've worked at CBS at the network level. You know the staffing that you have. Not one staffer might have said, and these are all scripted, right? This is all laid out to the second, to the T. They know everywhere that Margaret's going to go. Not one low-level functionaire said, maybe we avoid this Holocaust free speech Jewish thing because, oh, I don't know.
No.
I completed 12th grade and I know this to be incorrect.
No, I wouldn't avoid it. I just would have, that to me, that video that you just played is revealing. So I would, they said, Dawn, you want to go and do, absolutely. I want to go and show these individuals and what they're doing. So I would not say no to it. I say, yes, let me show this. But then you go to all the authorities and you say, so hate speech, really, you want to shut that down? You think that's a good idea? And then ask all of the different experts and expose what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the expose that they should be doing.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right?
And when you look at it, this is not just isolated to, I believe, the next 3 years and 11 months, because Trump's going to come and go. Trump will be termed out, and you're going to have many people that look at what Trump's platform was, common sense, America first, yibbity yabbity blue, and you're going to have Gen Zers, millennials, Gen Xers that say, you know what? I really identify with 15 of his 20 items or 17 or all 20 of his 2024 platform bullet points. And if a future Republican, whether it's J.D. Vance, whether it's one of Trump's kids, Ron DeSantis, whoever, if you move forward with the general crux of this platform, those voters are going to continue to follow you, especially if you've delivered results in real time for the 4 years. So Democrats in the media, you should probably get your head out of your ass, because this generation of voters is not going anywhere. So if you think you're going to try to suppress free speech for these 4 years and then just because look, for 4 months now, we've realized Democrats aren't changing their playbook, right? Mm-hmm. The media is not changing their playbook. It's the same playbook. It's an entity and a party sharing the same playbook. So you can continue going down that road, and that's fine. Please do, because I think you'll keep losing. But, you know, whether you're 21 or 41, whether you're a Gen Xer like Stocker, a millennial like me, a Gen Z or a first-time voter, or even somebody that's going to be voting eligible in 4 years in 2028, there's a lot of people that are like, you know what? I'm not going to allow you to take my free speech rights away. I'm not going to allow you to force mandates on me.
No, it's
this
crazy.
This is a rejection of what we dealt with for the first half of the Biden administration. That's where that's what this is.
Well, and the pandemic. Also, yes. I'm going to say this, and this is a tough thing for women in broadcasting, but that her in that brown dress, and they show the back shot where she needed some Spanx. It's just like she looks like a pile of poop. I mean, it's a brown. It's horrible.
Wow.
If you wear that skin. And I say this.
I like that.
I say this with great empathy as somebody who's, you know what I mean?
Pile of poop.
Walks that walk. But you do not wear
yeah.
a skin tight brown dress, which is the most unflattering color. But to wear a skin tight like dress like that, you have to either rock it. Or you don't wear it.
Yeah, what do you think? This is a radio show on YouTube?
Well, they show you from behind. And you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh,
yeah,
that's some serious lumpage going around like that backside. It's, I mean, seriously, the whole thing is just, I just looked at it. I said, wow, that's Merida. That's a poop look.
Poop look
lady.
And lumpage.
And to be really basic about it, it's just, I think she's going to lose her job.
Wow.
I believe that she will be fired. I don't know how, I say she won't. I don't know how she... It's too big now, and I think it's too big to get over the narrative, because with all the anti-Semitism and what we've been through in the campuses, I mean, here in Philadelphia, across the country,
mm-hmm.
I just think that it's too big a narrative for CBS to get control over, so she'll be the fall guy for that.
Wow. All right. 855-839-1210. Speaking of Philadelphia and throughout our region... Philadelphia Inquirer with a story from what happened yesterday as Philly and Bucks County protesters rally against Donald Trump and Elon Musk on President's Day. They write the following. Activists in Philadelphia and Bucks County spent President's Day demonstrating against Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk, who is attempting a significant overhaul of the federal government. Quote, "You've got an enemy in Pennsylvania," the protester said as he was in Philadelphia, quoted by the Inquirer. That according to a shirt worn by Jack Inecker, a Democratic organizer and Air Force veteran who joined hundreds of anti-Trump protesters in front of City Hall on Monday afternoon. Quote, "This administration has made an enemy of every single person gathered here today." Meanwhile, in Sellersville, Bucks County, the only collar county that Trump won in 2024, a similar scene unfolded. Crowds of anti-Trump demonstrators braved the bitter cold and lined the sidewalks of the town's main street, holding signs, chanting, and garnering supportive honks from cars passing by. They also include in Philadelphia, State Senator Vincent Hughes, Democrat, shouted out the phone number to get in touch with members of Congress as he stood behind a podium with a giant QR code, kind of like that one we have on the Kale and Company flag, to get involved with local activism. In Sellersville, organizers passed around QR codes and sign-up sheets. So, look, again, I am all for your right to protest as long as you don't impede upon people's ability to get to point A to point B, or as long as it doesn't turn violent. But let me understand what these people are protesting. Let's think about this for a moment at the most basic level. So you have people that are obviously showing they had a dependency on the government, right? they like or love having the federal agencies involved in their everyday life. Some of them, perhaps employees, that have been given 8 months of benefits and pay, which, in my view, then you are saying, well, that's not enough. Try working in any other profession where you could be escorted out of the building by security, just like that, or you're lucky to get 30, 60, or 90 days severance. And you're also mad about the absurd expenses that are going to other nations. These are the same people that probably wanted the federal student loan bailout assistance from Joe Biden for me, for Greg, for Dawn, to pay off your student debt after we've already paid off our student debt. And if you think about this from a fraud level, because the media has zeroed in on waste, fraud, and abuse, and they've really centered in on fraud, I want you to think about the logic for those out there, and it's probably only 10-15% of our audience that hates Elon Musk now. So you're paying for car insurance, right? You're getting scammed, and somebody comes up to you and uncovers the truth and tells you you're being robbed. Would you be mad at the insurance company, or would you be mad at the person that has shown you the scam and the fraud? In a logical world, you would be mad at the insurance company. The same logic, I believe, should be in play with Doge versus the government. The fact that Democrats in office are outraged, in my opinion, shows they're complicit, shows their guilt. They've been in on it, as many Republicans have as well. They're all lining their pockets and getting a cut with all these special interests. But the fact that Democrat voters are outraged by this, to me, shows not only emotional instability, but it also shows stupidity. We're sending billions of dollars around the planet for ridiculous programs. Elon Musk uncovers it, and because everything is anti-Trump, you by default are against this. Dawn, that makes no sense. You can hate Trump all you want, but if one man is coming in and saying, hey, let's get this deficit down. By the way, trimming the deficit benefits all of us, regardless of political party. Why would anybody be opposed to that? Why is anybody outraged over the fact that we're finding out, oh my God, we're sending $3.2 million to drag shows in Iraq? Why are we doing that? Who could be against that?
Well, who could be against government efficiency?
Right.
And when you see the list of what they were funding, to your point, but also I will say the layoffs, the federal layoffs, including reportedly on Independent Small, some of those park rangers, etc. But where was the media empathy? And there are constantly layoffs, by the way, happening, especially in the tech sector right now, on the private sector. But where was the empathy during the pandemic when tons of people were losing their jobs or taking significant pay cuts to keep their jobs, including many of us here, for those of us who survived in the pandemic? And so there was no empathy. Nobody talked about it. What about all the cops, the defund the police? What about all the people who lost their jobs and or were fired because of not taking the COVID shot? So where was the media outcry? Where was the media empathy? Now that's all you hear reported.
Yeah, you're right. Doge just laid out some of the fraud, waste, and abuse. This was tweeted on February 16th, so that was 2 days ago. $10 million for Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcisions. $9.7 million to UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. $2.3 million to strengthen independent voices in Cambodia. $32 million to the Prague Civil Society Center. $40 million for gender equality and women empowerment hubs. Hubs! We've got a hub right out here in the hallway. I love the hub. $40 million for women and gender empowerment hubs. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. I don't know how you say that. M-A-L-I. I'll get corrected on that. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. I'd like to have voter confidence in Bucks County where the lines aren't closing at 2 o'clock. It's unbelievable the money we waste for absurd things in countries that half of us can't find on the map and I probably can't pronounce. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And then one of the best stories I've seen in a while. It's very short. It's very simple. And it actually goes against most of what I fight against. But when it pertains to the health of children moving forward, the youth, the future of tomorrow, I am all for what Maha is up to next. And we'll hit on that when we come back. It's Kale and Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs and innovative features, and Piazza right now has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them, Piazza, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.